You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Daniel Giordano. Daniel, thanks so much for being with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brainerd. I really appreciate it.
So let's see, we're talking to you from New York, and I want to begin by talking about what you're working on now. I know we're also going to talk about your recent show at Sardine, but what are you working on at the moment? I know you're preparing for a group show, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Right now what I'm working on, there's this big cast aluminum trough that I made. I describe it essentially as a trough. And I'm filling it right now with urethane blended with pulverized urinal cakes. And I'm just filling that trough with this wonderful blue color. It's pretty tremendous. I'm really pleased. So I have to keep working on that, and that's nearing completion.
So before we go on to anything else, tell me a little bit about how that's being assembled. All of that sounds like materials that are, you can maybe go through those materials again, because those materials sound unstable, difficult to adhere, to make a sculpture with. What are the materials, and are they stable?
I feel that they're fairly stable once they're blended with resin. So essentially I'm using urinal cakes that you would find in a urinal, and I'm just grinding it into powder and blending it with urethane resin. And I've casted these aluminum pores, and I welded them together. The sculpture is going to be standing vertically. Essentially, it's a column or a trough. And I'm just filling this void with this mixed substance. And I think it's fairly preserved once mixed with the resin. So there you have it.
That's interesting. Resin itself, kind of like, the way a bug can be trapped in amber for hundreds of years, or which is, of course, a type of resin, and then becomes a stone. Is it the same kind of thing that really does protect even the most unstable elements, surrounding it with resin?
Yeah, I'd say, it's fairly similar. When you're blending something thoroughly with resin, from my experience, as long as there's no chunks or anything for air to get in, because the resin is breathing, I find that, it's as solid as, wood or stone. Yeah, and I use it fairly often for a lot of different materials that may be questionable, and it served me well.
And are you making, is that the one piece that's in this group show, or is there more?
Yeah, there's going to be two other works. I've been working with moisturizing face masks lately. The type that you would put on your face for 10 minutes, you could get them at a pharmacy or a lot of Korean skincare places, say in Koreatown in Manhattan, would carry these things. And I'm painting them and coating them in different substances. One is painted with cuttlefish ink, and it's mixed with acrylic polymer emulsion. And I'm just making these really simple wire structures for it to hang on and drape on. And they're made from hangers that were used in my family's factory when we used to manufacture coats. So I'm sourcing all of the wire from there.
So that's such unusual materials you're using. Those all seem to be, it's interesting, that one also has a relationship to your family and to your past. In the first sculpture that you mentioned, are the materials relating to certain kind of event? Is there a narrative within there, or anything that you imagine viewers will pull from it, or is it not intended to be viewed that way?
I mean, there's plenty of things that drive the work, but in the end, I really feel like each work is its own entity. You know, it goes beyond me, and it's not really what drove it anymore. But yeah, there's many, you know, vignettes that are being woven together to drive me to make these things. I mean, in relation to the urinal cake, I can tell you that I just never have a good experience, pissing in a urinal. You know, it, no matter where you aim, it sprays back at you, at least in my, you know, experience. And I've always just been fascinated with the cake, you know. But even when it comes to the cake, it's still spraying everywhere. And I don't know. I'm
that's really very funny. I think that's true. I can say that attest to this. I thought that was just bad design of urinals. I think occasionally.
You know, I mean, if I'm really in a bind and all the stalls are taken, you know, I resort to the urinal. I find you have to really go at an extreme angle on the side of the porcelain. So, you know, that way sometimes works. But, you know, I've just been fascinated with these urinal cakes, and I'm seeing more and more as I'm making work. A lot of my work relates to things that you consume, things you put on orifices, say lipstick, or things you expel from orifices onto, like, say, the urinal cake. So sort of everything revolving around orifices, interestingly.
The second piece you mentioned with hangers and was relating to the family business. Does that also have a orifice relationship?
In that case, no, it's not as invasive as wire hangers, but I'm pulling from other things. You know, that's very autobiographical. The factory complex that I work out of was my family's coat manufacturing business in Newburgh, New York. And, you know, that was my playground growing up. I remember as a child handing out new patterns for the seamstresses to familiarize themselves with, and, you know, just making fires in the backyard, in the parking lot there, actually, and just running around, hiding in coats and scaring people. So I'm working on the top floor. And all the remnants of what was the factory, all the Singer sewing machines and the Juki and the rolls of material, all kinds of equipment used in the factory, it's all up there. So I'm sort of working between and around all of this stuff. I'm just sort of immersed in this time capsule in this storage bin. And I'm finding ways of using that and incorporating it into my work. And it makes
sense. What you're working right now, just to be clear, your studio is in the factory where your family business was or still is?
Correct. Yeah, they closed in 96. And, we happen to keep the building. My father is... we're maintaining it. We're renting it out, the first and second floor. Fortunately, I have the third floor, and I'm able to work there.
And let's talk about the last show you had, you had a show at Morgan Lehman, and then you had a show at Sardine. Are you represented by a gallery at this time, or were these separate shows that aren't related?
Open and showing around, and my last show at Sardine was really successful. I'm really pleased with how it all went, and that just closed. The Morgan Lehman show was really fun. That was last summer, I believe.
So let's talk about the Sardine show. those are I don't want to overplay the Orpheus relationship, but in these shows, that was in the Sardine show, was that the same case that this was all related to or somehow referencing Orpheus's, because they look like they're sculptures but look so organic, almost like something you'd find growing on the ground or something that's been taken over by nature or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was loosely referential to Orpheus's. The show was primarily a display of my cannoli series. So I have multiple series that I'm working on simultaneously, but this happened to be focused on cannolis. So, I'm filling them with orange tang and resin, and there's a whole assortment of other materials, you know, related to my life. There's a lot of autobiography involved, mixed maybe with fiction, and it's just big fun.
So let's talk about the cannoli a little bit, you know, which of course in this instance almost looks a little phallic as well. The cannoli, the dessert, was the basis or part of what's being riffed on in the whole show?
Correct. Yeah. Primarily. Yeah. The cannolis are just something that I'm very familiar with. My family is, has a strong connection to their Italian heritage. And, I felt like that was a good starting point in terms of a form to begin with and start working with and explode out from there. So, you know, as a kid, I it was a treat that we all indulged in. And not only did I consume it, you know, I sort of internalized that and understand what that is in terms of, tradition and heritage and, you know, my own family's riff on that. So let's
talk about the success of that show. It was successful because there were sales. I mean, the show was together well, but also the work sold. Is that part of how you're judging the success of the show at Sardine?
I'm judging the success by the fact that there was so much attention around it. I got an interview with Cultured Magazine right when the show opened. Paul D'Agostino wrote a review of my work for Art Spiel. And right before the show ended, this writer, Carly, wrote a review of the show as well for the Red Hook Star review. That's going to come out in April. And just the response from people. A lot of my peers and fellow artists were really impressed with the work, and it just made me, it just built up momentum, you know, and leading into this next show, I feel really excited and confident in what I'm doing, and I'm just trying to push it and try to take it to the next level.
And they did sell as well. These go into mostly private collections, I would imagine.
unfortunately, they didn't sell. But there were a few people that were interested. Nothing panned out, but there might be conversation happening later.
That's great critical reception, and that's good. And in the past, is the work hard to sell at Morgan Lehman? Was it also hard to sell because it is very unusual work? It's maybe challenging in some ways to people because the material is so unusual. But it makes sense that it was a critical success because of your approach and the way you're working. So was Morgan Lehman also difficult for sales to be made there?
Yeah, I find that I hear that sculpture is always a struggle to sell, irregardless of, you know, what it's made of. But, you know, for me, I'm not really thinking in terms of what is most marketable. I'm thinking of how I can preserve and make something indelible in terms of the materials that I'm using and how they're important to me. I have to use those things. They just make sense to me. And at the end of the day, beyond sales, making these works, it's really just me in the studio having fun, you know, and making whatever the hell it is that I want to make. I think that's first and foremost. But yeah, it's always a challenge, of course. And we'll see as time goes on.
And in the meantime, as you're doing this work, is there other means you're using to support yourself? Are you teaching or doing art related activities?
Yeah, I'm a tennis instructor. I time to time assist as an artist and art handle. So other ways.
So the idea of using resin, to talk just a little bit more about this upcoming group show and how you work. The group show doesn't seem to have a theme like the last one, like the cannoli, which also has a sense of humor to it. When you're developing works, do they tend to have? Is that typical that there's a kind of a sense of humor to them, or is it really based on a specific idea as you're moving into this?
I feel like the work is pretty sort of just freewheeling, and it's just however it comes together. Sometimes I have ideas, and I'm trying to push them, but they never really pan out the way that I planned conceptually, you know, due to material and just, you know, working in the physical world. But I think the humor is just always present there. I just like having big fun, you know, and if I can't laugh, I don't know what the hell I'm doing it for, you know? So
right.
That's a big proponent.
And it's great talking to you about this. So the next show coming up, there'll be links in this interview, of course, so people can find out a little more about it. Where is the next show, the group show, and when? What are the dates for that?
So the group show is called Love of the Common Man, and it's hosted by Gazebo. It's going to be their first show. They just opened in Bushwick, and it's located at 1345 DeKalb Avenue in Brooklyn. That's going to open up April 6th. The opening's from 6 to 9. And I think it's going to be a short run. I think it's till the 14th.
And let me ask you one more question, which is always what I ask everybody at the end. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious.
Right now, I'm reading The Physics of Sorrow by this author, Gospodinov. I don't think he can do any wrong. I really love the guy.
That's exciting. Well, I wanna thank you for talking with me today. Thank you so much, and I wish you good luck on your next show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.